Welcome, everybody, to the Hour of Truth. This is Paul Muller, and we have levels. I have Philip Wolf all to my right, and way out there on the left is Jane Buesler and Scott Bishop.
About 3 to 4 hours out to the left.
Way out to the left.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Y'all are in the East time zone now. Come on.
Good afternoon, everybody.
There. Great. So, tell us some truth. Don't everybody speak at once.
A lot of the message this morning is on love.
What?
He said out of the message this morning was on love.
Oh.
And I mean, that's the gospel. It's love.
And nothing else matters until you get that straight. And it doesn't matter how you cut it. It's a choice, a preference.
And if, yeah, when you,
go ahead.
But when you wrap yourself around that, there's nothing more important than preferring God's love. That's it. And in that comes everything else.
And Jesus showed us how to do that. And, you know, we have been loved, and just like Steve referencing, you know, Davey saying, you know, pour it in, Lord, so I can pour it out, referring to his word and you know, his spirit, and it's the same way with love. The extension of grace and mercy, that is our ministry, the ministry of love and the setting and preferring others before ourselves. And that requires being lowly in mind, just like Philippians says. And so Philippians, again, in another place says, you know, of having the same mind as Jesus had. And that mind was, he was a servant in ministering and revealing to people the love of the Father. He served his Father. And his ministry to his disciples was one that said, you know, he would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, would be servant of all. And these are things that the high-minded don't particularly want to embrace. People who are about preferring themselves over other people and wanting the credit for stuff that they do. The trouble with credit for stuff that you do is the blame comes when it was the wrong thing. And this whole thing here is about letting Jesus take the blame, because we deserve the blame. And, you know, our sins separate us from God and was going to send us to hell. So suddenly I'm becoming the only one talking again. I don't like that. My voice is, my throat is giving me fits. So if somebody else say something, please.
When I look at, Jesus, what he's done, for us and, returned our hate with love. How else can we, and we recognize that? And we understand that? How can we but help, but love one another, and have compassion on others, and do the same?
That's right. And there's so many examples of that.
Well, it all starts with love, if you think. Our reconciliation to the Father through Jesus is because of love. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. It's all love.
You get, it's easy for me to get hung up back in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, 7, because those verses show the difference between how Jesus is and how I am normally, naturally. And, you know, it has gotten wrong by so many people out there that assume that all that stuff means Jesus was this peacenik that just hated any kind of violence and would not defend themselves. But that's just not true. That's not what he's talking about in any of that. He's talking about loving other people before yourself and stating, you know, you've heard it said, but I say unto you, the traditions of men are not what is going to deliver the kingdom of God. And that's just the way that is. And that was the whole nature of the setup in the Beatitudes. And the idea of somebody smites you, you turn the other cheek. That's preferring them before yourself. It's the third option. It's not taking it into your own hands and beating the crap out of them. It's not running. Those are the two natural fallback positions. Standing there and offering them the other cheek is not the thing you do unless you're about showing them the difference between the love of Jesus and the love of man. And demonstrating to them the gospel in that manner without even having to use a word. That's loving, that's preferring them before yourself. That's not justifying yourself. That's what that is. And there's just so much, there's so much wrapped up in that. And it's, you know, we need to have refresher courses all the time because that's really what, Paul's tells us to do, you know, speaking the truth to one another and in spiritual psalms and hymns and exhorting one another and provoking one another to love and good works. We need reminders of these things. And that's what people who are walking with the Lord should be doing for one another. That's loving them. That's how you keep getting kicked back into play when you depart from abiding in the body, abiding in Christ. It's not that that's hard to do. I wake up into being out, and I have to decide to put myself back in, right? That's just the way it is.
Right. It's not hard. It's just a choice that you make. And thinking of Phil's sermon about the cartoon characters,
You know, those, you know, for those folks that didn't hear it, I mean, basically these, cartoon characters were, staying at some other cartoon character's house, and they were tearing the place up and being jerks. And then they needed to find someplace else to stay. So they went from house to house looking for some, you know, someplace to stay, and all the folks just made excuse. Said they couldn't do it for whatever reason. They just didn't want to deal with it. And it wasn't until they came to a house where somebody told them, look, you can't stay here because you're a jerk, that they actually got the truth. You know, not because that was a hard thing to do, in a sense. I mean, it's easy just to say something, but it's hard because it's, you know, they might think you're being a jerk, telling them that they're a jerk. But it's the truth, and it's the right thing to do. And that's love. It doesn't always feel good to your flesh. Most of the time, I'd say it doesn't feel good. But it's something you need to choose to do.
It was still.
You look at, I think I used the scripture last, and he goes, Jesus said, had not sinned, but if now that I come, they have no cloak for their sin. And what did Jesus do with the Pharisees? He told them the truth. You know, that was love. You take the guy that came to the Jesus saying, you know, all these things I kept from my youth up, or master, master, what shall I do to be saved? And he goes and lists off a set of commandments, and he goes, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus says, but one thing thou lackest, go sell everything that thou hast and give to the poor and come and follow me. That was, and it said in one of the gospels, it said, and Jesus loved him. He loved him enough to tell him the truth, that the thing that was keeping him back from knowing him was his stuff. And he pinpointed that out. And that was a loving thing. The guy walked away not happy. And he walked away. But he wouldn't have had that opportunity to make that choice unless the Lord presented it to him. He would have been justified. He would have felt justified in everything that he was doing. And it would have led him ultimately to hell. You know, I don't know what ended up happening to that guy if he ever turned, but it said it's a walk away, but that was opportunity for him to turn. And you were talking about, choice earlier, Paul, about you wake up, you're out of it, and it's a choice that you make. That's the choice that we make. He's freed us from this bondage, from this darkness, to be able to walk and move in him by putting all our faith in him.
Right.
And that's an opportunity he gives us every single day. And, you know, what are we going to do with that? Comes a question.
Well, thing that needs to be redirected. We need an attitude adjustment. The word says power, love, and a sound mind. There's the love, the all the things you need
Are there.
Not a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. No excuse, no justifications, just, you have to do it.
And that's where...
You have to want to do it.
Right. And that's where you make that choice and you put all your faith in him, because you know by nature, you cannot do any of these things. You can't do any of these things in the flesh, and that's where you have to put all your faith in him. You know, John 15, I kind of got this open here. It says, I am the true vine. 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. Can't do it outside of him at all. But that's because of what he has done. He gives us that entering in. He gives us entrance into abiding in him.
Scripture you used today, Romans 13. Verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That doesn't matter with the metaphors being abiding in the vine or putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, being of his body. And perhaps the word metaphor is the wrong word, but you're not physically in a vine. That's a metaphor for the way the systems of the vine operate to produce grapes, to produce the fruit that they're growing to produce. But putting on Jesus Christ is getting into him. Abiding in him.
Amen.
It is loving to do the same in like manner as he did. It's loving like him. It's preferring others. It's a ministry of reconciliation between God and man. And examples of that. Remember the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was just, pleased in the beginning to be hurling all the insults that everybody else was hurling at Jesus. And then, he got weary of that really quickly. And he could see this guy, Jesus, was not like everybody else. And, it got revealed to him that this was Jesus Christ. And this was the Son of God. And he says, Lord, remember me this day when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, yes. Today you'll be with me in paradise. All I had to do was ask. And that was good enough.
And you know what else he recognized? What he recognized was, and Steve talked about that, is that, man, we're hanging here. We deserve this. But this man did nothing wrong. He recognized that he was guilty of what was being done to him.
Yeah.
And because of that, he had no justification. And he recognized who Jesus was. He went to go be with them in paradise.
Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that. That's the same opportunity that everybody else has. They have the same opportunity. There's no need. No need for you to die and go to hell. No reason for you to have to get pitched in the lake of fire. The Lord is good.
He paid that price for you.
That's right. You don't have to be the way you've been your whole life anymore. You don't have to be that way.
You know, the end of that show I didn't mention, Scott, of the cartoon characters.
Yep.
You know, the two other cartoon characters, they actually received the truth that was spoken to them, and they ended up going back and repenting unto the first people that they stayed with, and they all got together, all of them, and it wrapped up the show. But it was kind of a beautiful thing here on a cartoon show. But I wanted to share that the end of that telling the truth was good and loving when it came to the end.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, one of the other things that we're kind of touching on without coming out and saying it is, you know, no greater love hath a man for another than he lay down his life.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Jesus laid down his life that we all might have a chance to choose. You know, if we're going to love God in that same manner, we got to lay down our lives completely to serve Him. That means that, you know, a brother in the Lord, a sister in the Lord, a stranger, whoever it is, we lay down our lives and we serve them. Now that might be saying, you know, some perceived hard things like the cartoon character told those folks. It might be lending a helping hand. I mean, it might be different for each person you meet.
Absolutely.
But that's how we gotta walk this out. That's how we receive that love and that we can pour it out, right? Pour in that love so that I can pour it out, Lord.
Amen. And you know what scripture comes to mind, Scott, when you say that is, you can't, and I'm gonna mess it up, but you can't sew a old cloth to a new garment. You can't try to mix in when, to get what the Lord has, you, to get it poured into you, you have to be willing to lay down that old carnal man, all of it. Lay down your life completely. To take on the new. If something's in your hands, you gotta put that thing down before you can go grab something else.
Amen. If you're standing there holding on to your life, holding on to your money, holding on to this, holding on to that, and the Lord's got his hand out trying to hand you something, he ain't gonna be able to grab it.
Absolutely.
Me and James have been moving stuff. You know, boxes and furniture and all, you know, all kinds of things. I'll tell you what, if you come walking out of a house and you got three boxes in your hands and you can't see where you're going, it doesn't matter if somebody's there to take it from you. You don't know. You gotta be willing to lay it down.
Amen.
There's a sense in which, in the case of Jesus, that his laying down of his life was in our place. He was dying for another person. Most of the time we're not doing that. That's not even what we're talking about when we're talking about putting our old man away. Scott and Gil pointed that out in the chat room. If, you know, we're surrendering our life, you know, we deserve that anyway. That's no big deal. If we substitute for somebody else's death penalty, that's what Jesus did. When we put on Jesus, We are putting on the one who had done that for us. So, we take on the ability to do that. That we may not be called on to do that, but the willingness is extended in the offer of the same grace and mercy and love that Jesus bears when you put him on. He not only was willing to do it, he did it.
Amen. Brings me, you know, I'm thinking Romans 12, which is Romans 4, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And you go to, you go to Romans 13:8, where it says, Owe no man anything but to love one another. And when you recognize what Jesus has done for you, it should be your reasonable service to become that living sacrifice. It should be, no thing but to love one another. That's what it should be. It should be no problem for you to grasp that if you grasp really what the Lord has done for you. And you take it seriously. And you recognize it for yourself truly.
You know, there are a lot of people out there who are regular members, regularly attending churches, who could not actually tell you what the Lord has done for them. How do I know that? I was one of them. I hung out with a whole bunch of people that had that same problem, that same affliction. Is it my headphones or is there nobody talking?
There's nobody talking. Okay, good. Scott has something to say here in a little bit, I think, though. Or James. Mine was going somewhere, but.
It's not supposed to leave you speechless.
You derailed my train of thought.
That's not been terribly difficult.
You talk about reasonable service, and what was that? I was trying to remember what that verse was where, you know, after you've done all of these things, and that's just what you were supposed to have done. You know what I'm talking about?
So after all these, stand therefore?
No, I don't think that's what he means. That's what I was thinking too. You're a servant and you've done exactly what you were told to do, then you don't get any praise for that. You just,
right.
You're still an unprofitable
servant. Right.
That's what you're talking about, right?
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay, that's gonna be in the Gospels, and I believe that's in Matthew. But you know, you mentioned something, this is kinda going backwards a little bit there, Scott. One, it could be telling the truth. One, it could be, as far as in each circumstances and for each person will be different. You know, that's why you need the mind of Christ, where one could be, you know, like Jesus, where he says, you know, them that has no sin upon them cast the first stone. And they all walked away. You know, I'm trying to look for that scripture that you're talking about there.
You know,
and you know the other, scripture that to,
yet. You need to be able to type, I find.
The other one is, that I was thinking about is when he also talks about the difference between the goats and the sheep. And, you know, where Jesus is, you know, he's given that where the goats are saying, when have we not fed you? When have we not, gave you to drink? You haven't done the least of these, you haven't done it unto me. And then he goes and tells the sheep, because you've done this, because you've done that. And he goes, and then the sheep go, when have we done that? They had no idea that they were. Right. When you have done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. It's like one recognizes, one is just going about forward as the Lord would have them go. And the other is trying to recognize all the stuff that they're doing. I mean, do you see them, what I'm saying? And it's a two different motives. Paul, you talked about Corinthians there a little bit this morning in 13, where he says, you know, if you have not charity, I'll turn there a little bit, could not find, well, I didn't look hard enough to find where you were talking about there, Scott and Matthew, unless you would like me to do that further or keep going on what I'm saying.
Keep moving.
Okay. And, but in Corinthians, let's see, Corinthians 13, he says, trying to get there. It says something interesting. It's more important. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, the motive behind the one is different between the motive behind the other. And there is a difference. There is a significant difference. And it is seen. The one does it to puff themselves up, to see what it's all about, their own pride. The other does it because they love the person and wants the best thing for that person. And there's a distinct difference between the two.
There is. One person can do, like you're saying, the same thing as another person. One of it, it's a sin, and the other one, it's, you know, a mighty work. You know, it really comes down to where that person that's doing, where their heart is, what their motive is, you know, where they're coming from.
Yep. Parable of the talents. Matthew 25. I still don't see the phrase.
Which phrase are you looking at?
The phrasing where even after you've done everything you've been told to do.
Put in unprofitable servants in the search and see.
And it gives you Matthew 25, 20.
Does it?
Matthew 25 something. I forget what the something is, but.
But what you were saying there, and that's
17.
And the walking in the charity, there is a difference. There is a difference, and it's to the people you're ministering to. That difference is noticed. Let's see here. I don't see that.
So likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Haven't done anything special. Haven't brought any, gone out of our way to do something that was not on the list to bring, you know, to make Luke. Profit for our master. Well, there you go. That's where that one was. And I knew it was in there somewhere, but it doesn't help when you can't quote the verse verbatim. It doesn't matter what you type in the search. It's not going to give you the search results you want. So there you go. All that effort to pursue a point we left a long time ago.
Well, I mean, look at the... Go ahead, Scott. Sorry.
Our reasonable service... I mean, what is that? It's to lay down our lives, right?
Amen.
I mean, that's it. It's that simple. It's not easy. But it's that simple. And if we're able to lay down our lives, we receive grace. Because the Lord knows that we're going to screw up along the way. And if we have that heart of a servant, we're seeking Him, we're desiring to serve Him, we can overcome the things of this world. We can put off that flesh. We can move forward in Him and in His love and share the gospel wherever we go.
Amen.
Perhaps we need to attend a daily funeral.
What does Paul say? I die daily.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, I would avoid a funeral at all costs. Really? Those are like weddings, man. And, you always, spite whether the person you know knew the Lord or not, they're now, in a place that's good for them. They're with the Lord. You still don't want to turn them loose. It's grievous to turn them loose. And, it's selfish about us. But our grief is the grief over that which is cursed anyway. But that's how we are, man. That's just, it doesn't matter what we know to be true. And that truth testifies against how we are all the time. To go to a funeral in the right, with the right perspective and the right attitude, You'd be ready to sing praises, man. Just, woohoo! It's a celebration. It's not a celebration. It's a gloom and doom and a whole bunch of people that are uncomfortable and don't want to be there, smiling at each other and being superficial and shallow, trying to console the inconsolable. Because there's a loss here. And, but that's how we are. I just go on these, frequent mental tangents that are not really going anywhere, but.
I have this quite often. I can relate.
We do have 60 minutes to fill here, I'm just saying.
But it's an interesting, and I'm going to read verse 10 again. It's 17:10, actually. I was completely off. Go figure. It says, so likewise, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. And we just done what our duty to do. That should be our attitude. And serving him. I mean, you look at Steve, I remember him sharing the fact that, man, I mean, he'd get this list of things he was running Dog River Design, and he'd have this big list of things that he would have on his list, and he'll go through them, and he'll knock two or three things off that list, and then like five more would come on the end of this list, and this was going on for like years, and then he couldn't get around to those other things, he'd just erase them, put other things in the spot because it was more urgent, and it just kept on, and you know, he's just searching diligently, and his attitude was one of, man, how is this ever gonna, you know, what good is this? You know, I'm just an unprofitable servant here. I can't seem to, you know, and he can share it a lot better than I can, of course, cause it's his testimony here. But when he was all, when the Lord at the end of it, it was years at this gone by, and when the Lord was at the end of it, and the Lord showed him that he was to
run Dog River.
We're talking about Steve running Dog River Design, and that he was to split up both Dog River Design for, you know, one for Charlie on the, I guess, the software side, and Ricky on the website side of things, and that was a split up. You know, he got that motion that the Lord was pleased with him in the work that he's done, and he was like that goat. When have I, you know, he never got done with the list, none of those things, but it was a satisfying moment.
Like the sheep.
Right, like the sheep. And that's kind of going back to that area. And what you see is you do see fruit from that. In the midst of all that stuff and all that, and it really wasn't, as far as financial wise to me, what it sounded like was not profitable at all. You can definitely now look where Charlie's at and Ricky's at and see the profitableness of that. You really do. And it's an amazing thing of what the Lord has done there.
It was done through humility.
Absolutely.
And that he wasn't looking at himself and what he was doing. He was just looking unto the Lord for what to do next.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the midst, you're exactly right. And you've seen what the Lord did with all that. Because from the natural, it didn't look like anything. But you definitely now see the fruit of all those things.
Yeah, well. The attitude to carry is still just did what I was supposed to do.
Absolutely.
And
usually mine is, I'm still not even hitting what I'm supposed to be doing. It's just,
yeah, well.
I mean, that's how it goes for me.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's very seldom do we actually get to the point where, when we've done all those things,
done all those things, I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, say anything.
That was one of my mental, other areas.
But that's exactly what that thing in Romans 12, what it reminds me of is that Luke 17:10, there's nothing special about this. This is like the minimum daily requirement here. This is just enough to get you in the door. This is the starting point at which you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're in a transformational relationship, and you submit yourself to that by agreeing with it and learning to love the process, because it is taking on Jesus' character. And if you, as in 1 John says, are going to walk as he walked, you say you're in the light, you ought to also walk as he walked.
Amen.
That's the only way you get there. You want it, you ask for it, you got to do it. That's what his word says. That's the process. That's what he's about business of doing. And when you can agree with that and agree not to be trying to pitch a tent on some kind of truth that you've heard, but rather take it in and then you hand it out. Take it in and hand it out. Take it in and hand it out. You're trying to be like the Pharisees who are trying to set up shop and think it virtuous to know things that other people don't know, because that makes us special. That's not being special. That's being selfish. That's looking for all the power and glory in the here and now and not trusting Jesus. When you humble yourself.
Well, and when you do that, you don't point anybody to Jesus. You point everybody to yourself.
To yourself, yeah. You perpetuate idolatry as well. So, because you are about the business of showing other people yourself and not
Jesus.
You're not even revealing to them the character of the Father. The Pharisees in that position were just revealing to them how good they could perform the traditions of men. That's all they were doing. Because that's all that made them special. But as far as the law, I mean, Jesus tells them, you know, you try to derail other people's faith and then you don't even do it yourself. You're absolutely incapable of keeping these laws. And here you are taking people who are trying to get things right with the Lord and knocking them down and kicking them in the teeth. And that's, when I sit and I see the setup of the churches out there, I've knocked around quite a few of them. That's really their regard of people outside. Is we have a thing here and we're going to cloister here around. We have all the truth there is to know about this thing here. And if you want to come in here and experience it, then you got to look a certain way. You got to dress a certain way. You got to act a certain way. There's none of that. There's none of that in the Bible. But what you need to do is preach the gospel to everybody that the Lord will send your way, man.
What was the thing that you said?
Love one another.
You said, come as you are. Remember that?
As you are.
Yeah, I mean, do you just, and if Jesus received you just as you are, how do you receive other people? You need to receive people just how they are.
You put up with the stuff that it doesn't make a big deal, and then you speak truth to the stuff that's actually separating them from the body or separating them from the truth. It sounds easy when you say it real fast. It's a lot to be responsible for, but the more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And the Lord shows up for you.
And you never reject that person. You might reject the old man. You might reject the justification. You might reject the things that come between them and the Lord in the sense of that showing to them with grace, seasoned with salt in the sense of this thing is keeping you away from the Lord. But you don't reject them. Their person.
Yeah, that was one of my better phrases that I turned instead of being salted. Instead of being salted with,
or peppered with judgment.
Peppered with judgment, yeah. Pretty good line, huh? Thank you, Lord. I'm usually not, in most cases, able to ever come up with that, so stuff like that on my own, so. There you go. We've been talking a lot here. You guys sleeping or what? What's going on?
It'd be understandable. They had a quite a trip with no sleep.
I don't accept this justification, sir. Come on.
Hey, I wasn't making any justification, but if Phil wants to give me a couple.
Well, that's who I was talking to.
But no, we're listening. And yeah, I wrote it down in my head. The salt and the pepper. Yeah, that was good. I mean, that's.
I thought so too.
Well, you know, it sounds like our thought processes have totally run off the rails. We may be done.
Scott, James, you got anything else to say?
I thought we were squeeze a word in edgewise, but it looks like we've exhausted ourselves.
James and Scott, y'all got anything else to say?
Hey, I don't think I have anything to add. You, James?
No, sir.
Then say good afternoon. It looks like we're going to be an early out today.
All right. Well, may everybody have a good afternoon.
There you go. Good afternoon, everybody.